Let's fucking get it on right now.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Yeah! Oh, I gotta do that again. I ran out of breath. I was laughing when the song ended. Yahweh! Ciao, Fudgebaggers. Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam, and Urine.
And of course, I'm here too, and I'm Urine, and I'm Steve, and I'm the stars above your knees.
Correct. He's Magic Steve, and I'm Magic Adam, because this week we're talking about 2015's Magic Mike XXL, a movie that was exactly what I hoped it would be.
I have thoughts on it.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear them. All right, man. Before we get into all of the XXL magic, we need to start with the Pure Boys prayer.
God bless our podcast. God bless all podcasts. We love you.
Amen.
I know that praying and putting your hands together is very important for God to hear you and to hear your voice.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to snap during the prayer.
Oh, like we were in a jazz bar or something like that?
Like as if we were in a jazz bar or something like that.
So kind of like a God bless our podcast, that kind of thing. Okay, yeah.
Maybe for Jazz Month some year.
Of course. Well, of course we're going to be doing Jazz Month at some point where we just watch The Jazz Man or The Jazz Singer, whatever that movie with blackface is. We'll watch that 4 weeks in a row to really get a good sense of it. And every time we do the prayer, we'll do a little bit of snapping.
All your famous jazz movies.
Oh, yeah. List them off.
Well, there's Star Wars: A New Hope, of course.
Of course. Well, that technically that's jizz, but yes, it is. It's a form of jazz, so that's acceptable. Yeah, we can take that.
It's a twist of lime on jazz, that's for sure. called jizz.
Yeah, it's a little twisted jizz in the Star Wars universe. Galaxy Far, Far Away, of course, not anywhere close to home.
That episode of Full House where little Tanner falls off a horse. And then has a dream about, I think, dying and going to heaven. that's a good jazz episode.
That's a good jazz episode. I thought you were going to say the one where Uncle Jesse plays drums for the Beach Boys. That's got a bit of jazz to it.
That's a classic. And, of course, anything done by Tim and Eric, because they're like comedy jazz. They're what you don't expect.
Just riffing, you know? It's the jokes they don't tell that really makes it laugh.
It's the notes between the notes that make jazz worth it, and so do Tim and Eric.
Exactly. Is jazz the worst form of music? Is it like the bottom of the barrel worst form of music? I think it might be. I think so.
If I were to walk into a jazz bar, I would leave, maybe. I'd also want to look cool.
Well, of course. You'd be wearing sunglasses inside. You'd be wearing a fedora or possibly a pork pie hat. You'd be looking a lot like Tito doing his sweets routine at the end of Magic Mike XXL.
Oh, man, I'm so glad we get to dive into all these characters again.
Agreed. I mean, I don't know if you're being facetious or not. I know you did not enjoy the first one. I know you were staunchly not a Magic Mike fan, where I enjoyed the first one, but I wanted more, and this movie gave more. And so for me, I had a tremendous time watching this movie, but it sounds like you maybe had a different time. Your tone
for me, it gave me
things.
Less, a lot less.
Wow,
and a lot more wanting.
Wow. All right. Well, boy. Well, luckily we've got. I'm filled with rage right now. We need to do a couple of segments to put some space between this insult that you've just laid out on Magic Mike XXL, Steven Soderbergh's best movie, and us talking about it, because I need time to cool down from this red-hot rage I'm feeling. So, Magic Steve, I've got a question for you. That's a very important question. And that question is, of course, whomst was the Bagger Vance of Magic Mike?
There's a lot of choices to choose from Magic Mike because of the rich characters. I mean, you could almost say Tampa was the Bagger Vance. But I think this one stood out to me that Dallas, played by Matthew McConaughey, is the true Bagger Vance of Magic Mike because of his esteem. Now, Adam, Magic Adam, whom do you think was the Bagger Vance of Magic Mike?
Well, Magic Steve, thank you so much for asking. For me, the Magic Bagger Vance of Magic Mike was, of course, Dallas, played by Matthew McConaughey. I'm 100% in agreement with you. I also agree that Tampa could have also been the Bagger Vance. You know, they're the sixth Spice Girl.
Runner
or
up.
Whatever. Yeah, runner up. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know, people would rather go to Orlando than Tampa, I guess. And that's just kind of the way it goes. But Matthew McConaughey as Dallas certainly brought the prestige that an Academy Award attendee would bring to a movie like that.
And boy, did he attend it.
Oh, he has attended so many Academy Awards. Maybe he's won one, I don't know. Maybe he won one for Dallas Buyers Club or something. I have no idea. But either way, Matthew McConaughey as Dallas was certainly the Bagger Vance of Magic Mike. And 24 more seconds.
Amen. He definitely should have won one for Magic Mike. That's for sure.
Agreed, yes. For that last dance alone.
Do you think Will Smith won because he should have won for Bagger Vance?
Wow, a great question. One that will have to wait until next
haunt
week.
Haunt us.
It will haunt us forever eternity. Because you asked it too late. The song's over. We can't answer. We can't even talk about it now.
There was time. There was time.
I guess there was time for a yes or no, but if you ask, when you ask a big question like that that carries so much weight behind it, you gotta have a big answer, and a yes or no just won't cut it. And unfortunately, you asked it just a little too late. So maybe we'll find out next week. Maybe we won't. Maybe fuck you. How does
You're
that
too
sound?
Late is my too early.
Beautiful. Now that's a sentiment I can get behind.
Yeah, chew on it for a while.
I will. But now it's time to get to everyone's favorite segment.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin, I wish I could yell at you just like the mother from Home Alone.
You're going to say improvement.
He's being a naughty man lately.
Oh,
and
no.
His most recent tweet, I can't even look at. I couldn't even read it. Go look if you want to be disgusted by a human being. Now,
he's tweeted many things since then, but I guess we'll never know.
No, well, it depends on when you're listening. If you're listening to this Christmas 2024, go back in time to this date.
Of course, yeah. I can only, knowing what's going on in the United States of America right now, I can only imagine the hot take Kevin has regarding whatever the day's current events are. Probably the UFO hearings. That's probably what he's tweeting about.
It's so bad. I don't even want to give this guy steam. But we'll give you some steam for your earlier tweet, because you are the heart of the show, Kevin Sorbo. This happened May 2nd at 11:45 a.m., just before noon, again.
Perfect.
Arguing with a liberal is like arguing with your wife. No matter how wrong they are, it's still your fault. Bam.
Bam.
He didn't say bam.
Of course not. He didn't say hashtag BAM TM. Hashtag TM BAM.
TM BAM. Yeah, that's the proper order, I think, for sure. So, a huge slam on liberals, of course.
Of
little
course.
Cucks.
Yeah, of course.
But also on his wife?
Yeah, a huge slam on Sam Sorbo. Yeah, like a big, did he tag her on it? Did he go at Sam Sorbo arguing with liberals like arguing with your dumb bitch wife?
No, it says hashtag Twitter, can you hide this from my wife?
Yeah, I need to tweet it at Elon Musk. Please, hide this tweet from my wife. Please, you have the power.
Twitter doesn't work that way, Kevin. I mean, it might for you because you're a part of the conservative elite and a big mouthpiece for them, of course.
And he's got that blue check mark, so obviously he pulls a little bit of sway on Twitter.
Yeah, he definitely holds a limp sway over Twitter.
Well, Kev, very insightful as always. You really have your finger on the pulse of boomer humor and just good solid takes on how the world should work here in 2022, the year of our Lord. We don't mean that, Kevin. Oh my God, we don't mean that. Oh my God, we need you for the show.
I kind of do.
can't even pretend to joke about it anymore. Just
not after his recent tweet. I hated this man.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna read me the tweet, and then I'm gonna cut it out of the episode. But I want to hear what it is before I want to get in your headspace. So what is this tweet? And I'll cut it out of the episode.
If you can find the seam, yell at us on Twitter and email.
If you can find the seam, tweet at Kevin Sorbo and say your seams are showing.
Oh my God, you should definitely tweet at him and tell him his seams are showing. He won't know what it seems.
He will cry. He will cry into his toilet on top of his dumps.
Well, he's trying to let go of his dumps.
He's a man who is so efficient, he's dumping less and less these days.
Yeah, he only eats spaghetti and meatball.
Delicious. A healthy diet of a Texan, or wherever he lives. Florida.
Yeah, Texas.
Oh, is he lives in Texas?
Oh, yeah. The Florida of Texas.
Oh, I was hoping he was living in Tampa, Florida, home of Magic Mike XXL.
So you like this movie?
Steve, I fucking love this movie. I am shocked at the energy you're bringing to this episode. I can't believe that you didn't like it. You didn't like it, I'm assuming.
It's so bad. The cinematography is barely there. It's I can't see anything in this movie. They need to put more lights. There's no stripping for like an hour and a half.
What are you talking about? There's so much stripping in this movie. There's so much more. This movie is packed full of stripping. It's just not like, it's not bad strip show stripping. It's just men daggering women at parties and discos and clubs.
Well, I just feel like the main characters need to strip earlier and more often. I felt like the story was non-existent in a bad way.
Oh.
I felt like the first movie was more of a tighter movie.
Oh my God. We are coming at this from completely different angles. To address your point about the cinematography, it wasn't directed by Steven Soderbergh.
No.
Although, big exciting news, they are making a third Magic Mike movie called Magic Mike's Last Dance, which is being directed by Steven Soderbergh. So he's back. He did executive produce this movie and maybe just like regular produced it, but he didn't direct it. So it didn't have the cinematic eye that the first one had, certainly. But God
which
damn.
I hated in the first one, by the way.
But you missed it in this one.
Yeah, I think I might just hate every movie from now on. It's funner this way.
This is going to be such a long... May I Take My Clothes Off is going to be such a long month. I think you just hate male stripper movies.
I want to see more dingers. I want to see less abs. I want to see less pecs. And I want to see more dingers.
Well, I'm sorry. Based on the movies that we have lined up for the rest of this month, I don't think you're going to see any dingers. Like, not a one.
No. Are you allowed to show your dinger at a male strip show in the U.S.? Is that legal?
I mean, I know you're not allowed to show them here, where we live. You're not even allowed to, like, take clothes off on stage where we live. You have to, like, go behind a little screen, take a piece of clothing off, and then come back out due to stupid liquor laws and, like, religious shit, probably.
Do you have to, like, wash anything?
What do you mean? Like, do you have to...
When you take a piece of clothing, like, so I'm thinking, like, a sleeve...
Sure.
Because that's sexual.
One sleeve,
do you have to wash your arm, too?
I think so, yeah. In between every, like, every time you strip, you have to take a quick horse bath. And, you know, tops and tails, as Austin Powers would say.
Oh, yeah. Well, that a lot of people in this country of Haiti strip during Austin Powers music.
As they should. It's Soul Bossa Nova, that's a great song to strip to.
Yeah, it really is. Was it in this movie?
Nope.
I know. Well,
Yep, that was in this movie.
Like four times, right?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, they play it at the near the start, and then there's like a remix over the end credits, and then I don't know if they play it anywhere else. There's other songs that kind of sound like it, but it's all just like sexual music for men, so it all kind of blends together.
It's sexual music for men, heterosexual sex music for men, for sure. And I dug the stripping music. Whenever the real stripping started, I had chills coming down my spine because the music was so good.
I gotta say, I liked the music in the first movie. I thought it was fun and cheesy, all just, kind of crappy 80s, hair metal music and all that. And then this movie, the music just blew me away with how good it was. A huge step. Again, I'm shocked that you didn't enjoy this movie because it was a huge step up in every single way to me from the first movie. Several times in my notes I wrote, this is what I wish the first movie was. This is what I wish, I'm so glad life this was. One exists.
Well, it did improve on every single thing that the first one lacked. Except for the story, which I hated of the first movie.
And see, I agree that the first movie is a film, as you would say. And this movie is just like a good time. And that's all you want out of a movie like Magic Mike. I come for a good time. Leave your inhibitions at the door. The show is about to begin.
My favorite thing that happens at the beginning of this movie is that Magic Mike misses stripping so much. He wants to strip. He's achieved his goals, kind of, creating his custom business. Can't pay his employee health care, but he can buy an engagement ring. It all adds up. But I love that he just wants to strip. He loves the stripping culture, and he misses it a lot.
He misses it. He misses his boys. It's been 3 years since they all went off to Florida, to Orlando, and Magic Mike, stayed with the girl who he proposed to, and she said no. And then she's not in this movie at all.
Which has gotta be gut-wrenching. I mean, that will draw you back to stripping more than anything, is being hurt by a lovely woman.
Exactly. I don't know what that's like, because when I asked someone to marry me, they said yes, and you, of course, are the same.
Well, we agreed upon it. I don't think anybody asked anybody.
Oh, did you just go like...
God told us to be in love.
Right, an angel, a biblical angel appeared in your room and said, be not afraid, do you want to get married? And your wife was like, to each other or to you, angel? And they were like, to each other. She said, sure.
That's what happened. That's directly from the Bible. It's in there somewhere. The young man's Bible.
Of course. I do think that sure is the best thing that someone can say to another person when they ask if they want to get married.
Sure, all right, why not? The whole gamut of non-answer answers.
Why not?
Are great.
Why not? Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, fine. Fine.
I want the money, so.
I want the money. I want the party with the money.
Yeah, get married, everyone.
Exactly, yeah. Like Magic Steve said, Magic Mike has the furniture business. He's making custom furniture. He's living the life. It looks like he's having a great time. Then he gets a phone call from Kevin Nash, who's like, hey, Dallas is gone, and we're coming to town. We've got some bad news. Dallas is gone. And a devastating way to start the movie.
Yeah, this is... maybe what really dug my grave of this movie is, A, no stripping up top. Magic Mike is a dumb furniture maker who can't pay his employees, and Dallas is dead. Those are, my favorite things of the first movie that are gone.
Fair enough, yeah. But then we find out when Magic Mike shows up at the wake at the hotel, and the woman goes, there's no wake at this hotel, and he hears... the opening screams of Crazy Train, then he goes, oh, the boys must be back there. And sure enough, there's Joe Manganiello's naked ass ready to pick him up and throw him in the pool because Dallas isn't dead. They were just messing with him.
Whoa, he's pushed into a pool. But also, he's not there. Dallas took the kid and started a new show.
Yeah, in China.
That's cool. You got to strip in China.
I guess. What a What a crazy idea to be like, well, I'm off to China to be a male stripper. Oh, of all the places in the world to go, you chose authoritarian China. All right. Interesting choice, but go for it. And best of luck to you, Matthew McConaughey and the kid.
He gets on stage and he tries to strip, but there's only one man in the audience and he shoots him dead.
I was like, I was sad when they when I thought Dallas was dead, because I was really hoping that phone call was going to be, hey, the kid is dead. And I would go, yeah, I know you're not in this movie. You sucked in the last movie.
Well, he's probably going to get dead stripping in China. They don't take kindly to those types of folks.
No, he's going to
work. I don't think.
He's going to work in a prison camp for many years. And then when he dies, his body is going to get donated to the Body Works exhibit. And then they'll strip his skin off and pose him in like a male stripper pose. And he'll tour around Vegas for the rest of his days. That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah. They'll have his last words, I was a stripper, engraved on his statue.
Mm-hmm. And everyone who goes will see, they're called male entertainers, please.
I think I want that to be on my tombstone. I was a stripper.
Magic Steve, in quotes, I was a stripper. It's not bad.
Like, they're going to fact check it.
Well, that's just it, right? Your legacy can be whatever you want to put on your tombstone.
I was a stripper.
Yeah, I used to be Lon Chaney's lover.
I killed Hitler. Something like that.
Wait, Hitler's buried here. That's crazy.
Southwestern Haiti? Crazy.
Wow.
It makes sense. The boat path makes sense. Germany to Haiti?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's on its way to Venezuela or wherever people think that Hitler skedaddled off to after the war.
Venezuela, Argentina, and that's I believe them.
Yeah.
You think he's dumb enough to just, like, die in a cave?
Can't believe that we're talking about Hitler while talking about Magic Mike Double XL. Mike is wondering why all the strippers are there, and turns out they're on one last ride down to, or up to Myrtle Beach for this male stripper convention. TM.
Yeah. The convention, as they call it throughout the movie. Everybody knows about this place.
Yep.
A bunch of, like, middle-aged ladies take all of their savings, and thousands of them flock to see these shows.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it might as well be at, like, a baseball stadium or something. Like, it's just the amount of people crammed into that room. It's obscene how many people there are. Like, only a few of you are going to be able to throw your money at the men. How, like, the people way in the back, your money's not going anywhere. In fact, there's a great shot where, like, during one of the final dances, a woman walks, like, throws a single dollar bill and watches it just, like, pathetically float down right in front of her. And she looks so bummed. She's just like, oh, no one's going to get, I just wasted my money. No one's going to get that.
That's my money right there. Did you like the shot of them getting their money, like the stacks of $100 bills?
Yes.
As they were entering the stadium. I thought that was the best shot of the film.
I loved it. I thought that was great. Yeah. I was like, well, sure, of course. That makes the most sense. Bring a fat 100 and we'll give you a fat wad of ones.
I don't see anybody picking up the money throughout this whole film. Every single stripping scene, there's not somebody picking up the money, and there was in the first movie, and maybe that's why I hate this new film.
I guess in your mind, it lives in like sort of an alternate reality. It's not as grounded as the first movie.
Like, as soon as the dollar bills hit the ground, it seems like it's invisible to the rest of the cast, and that doesn't make sense in my world.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, well, they're all well-paid actors, so they don't need those dollar bills, though.
Yeah, but the actors are characters in this world that they've created, and they need to create reality.
They need to stay grounded. I need to know where the dollar bills are going. Well, we can just assume that Fluffy is hoovering them up, and he's loading them into his smoothie truck and driving on to the next town.
What I was surprised about this film is that they never really discuss money whatsoever. This isn't a road trip to win, like, a contest or something. They don't need, like, the money to, like, help their businesses or anything, even though that's kind of implied. The trip is just one last ride for stripping purity.
Yeah. You had a problem with that? You had a problem with that?
No, I loved it. Oh, I loved every minute of it. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I liked most about the movie, is that it's literally this movie is just, hey, you know how in the last episode we talked about how we didn't really get to know any of the other strippers like Joe Manganiello and Kevin Nash and like all those guys? Well, guess what? This movie is just the boys going on a road trip, and it's just vignettes. They keep going to places and meeting people, famous cameos, and just having a good time the whole time all along the way. And perfection. Just that's all you need for a movie about male strippers. I don't need like serious discussions about male stripper life. Go to a gas station and squirt a bottle of water like you're busting in front of the gas station attendant. That's all I want out of a movie like this.
I agree. And I thought it was great that they just stuck to the road trip and the stripping, yeah, and really caught the purity of it. What probably took me out of this film was Ken. Ken having a relationship with anybody or talking at any moment really sucked for me.
Who is Ken?
He's Kendall. He's the beautiful one that can sing.
The spiritual one.
That can sing.
You didn't like him? I thought he was a good counterbalance to all the rest of the guys.
No, I thought he was flippant. Too flippant.
Well, I think that's
I needed a stronger beta cug.
Right, the kid isn't there anymore, so...
Yeah.
Fair enough, yeah. Well... Maybe you'll get it in Magic Mike's Last Ride.
His death.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if Magic Mike's Last Ride doesn't open with a kid being like shot in the back of the head in a prison camp in China, then I don't want to watch that movie.
Well, you wasted a scene that you've built up. Like if Dallas and the kid don't get killed in China at the beginning of XXL3, what do you think? Triple XL?
I think it's called Magic Mike's Last Ride, but I would hope that it would be called XXLL.
Okay. Why did they go to double XL immediately? Is it just fun, you think?
Yeah, it's a condom thing, I would imagine. It's a dinger size thing.
It's a dinger size, yeah.
It's a dinger size, you know.
Even though we don't even get to see a shadow dinger in this movie.
No, but there's lots of, like, very loose-fitting thong, like, you know, dinger pouches flapping around. And there's a lot of like hard hogs during that final dance scene.
I think Magic Mike's dinger is a fake. I think you put a plastic rubber. It dangles too much. It's too free-flowing.
Wow. Well, we'll never know. We couldn't... Channing Tatum wouldn't return our thousands of phone calls that we made to him, so we'll never know.
Thousands. We really wanted to get him on the pod. We tried to do some voice acting to, like, fake his timbre, but we couldn't get it.
Couldn't do it. We kept DMing him on Twitter being like, send us pictures of your dinger. We want to see if that's what it's like in Magic Mike Double XL, and just left us on red.
I was so happy to see Magic Mike hump the ground again.
Oh, that first dance he does to Pony when he's like in his workshop and he's listening to the 90s throwback hip hop station on Spotify. Great. Hey, shout out to Spotify in this movie. And then Pony comes on, and I was like giddy watching that dance scene. It was just like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. Exactly what I wanted out of this.
Yeah, it's he's still got the moves. I appreciated the facial recognition that he wanted to strip. He just like is aching to strip again.
Yeah, he can't help himself. He loves it so much. Even when he's working, if Pony comes on, if he's holding a metal bar that he's grinding, he's going to put it right over his crotch and grind the hell out of that thing and then do a backflip off of his workbench or whatever.
And then they're on the road because he decides to go with them and strip at the convention.
Hell yeah, brother. But, you know, he's got to go down the rabbit hole, which means taking lots of drugs the entire time and just partying for 3 days straight. Looks like a great time to me.
Well, doing some Molly and then having Mr. Iglesias pass out and crash the truck. The frozen yogurt truck?
Yeah. It's him and... what was the guy's name? Well, who's the Latinx actor?
Tito?
Tito, yeah, that's his name. Yeah, yeah. Tito and Gabriel Iglesias, they run a frozen yogurt truck that serves frozen yogurt out the side, and then Fluffy DJs out the back, so it's like a rolling club, or a rolling, like, block party is how they describe it. And Magic Mike goes, that's a really good idea. And I went, maybe in Tampa. I don't know. Doesn't seem like, seems like more of an annoyance than anything else.
Well, it's too cold in Haiti to have something like that all the time. You'd only get like 3 or 4 months out of the year.
Yeah, and even then you got to apply for a permit and you got to go to the farmer's market. No one wants to listen to loud club music at the farmer's market. They're trying to get pierogies. They don't give a crap about that.
Yeah, these are hipster nerds that don't want to listen to club music ever. Mm-mm.
They want to, no, they don't care about that kind of stuff. They want to listen to who the hell knows what.
Who the hell knows what's up?
Yeah, exactly. But before
what was your favorite, like, thing that they go to?
Favorite, like, vignette?
On the road.
That's easy. It's got to be Jada Pinkett Smith's, like, sex club that she runs. That's, like, that's the best chunk of the movie right there. There's so many great actors that just show up.
Oh, man. This is when the celebrity train really starts rolling.
Oh,
is
yeah.
It Jada Pinkett's sex club, but only for male strippers that don't take off their crotch stuff?
I don't understand what that building is and how it's so packed every night from the looks of it. Like, it's obscene the amount of people that are in there. There's no fire code. It's violations as far as the eye can see. But they just, they pack them in. And then, yeah, it's just like shirtless men giving lap dances to women. And that's it.
So you like this movie, but
loved
when
it.
This scene was on, you were thinking about fire codes?
I was concerned about them, certainly. There's a lot of people in there.
And that's why I love you, Adam. You're always concerned about your fellow man and if they can get out of a fire on time.
Of course. I would. The last thing I want is for something to happen and for people to not be able to get out. That's why whenever you go into a room, always make sure you clock the exits and you know how to get out. Have your escape route planned. And don't sit with your back to a door. That's gangster stuff.
Yeah, you're playing loose rules with laws of physics if you don't if you keep your back to a door. Is that it?
You just you don't know who's going to sneak up. Wasn't it Wyatt Earp who was shot in the back of the head at a poker game because he had his back to the door? Not going out like Wyatt Earp. I'm going out like me, Magic Adam.
I think this movie should have opened with a flashback of Magic Mike at Jada Pinkett's sex mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Jada Pinkett's pointing a gun at Magic Mike and forcing him to strip, and that's why he had to leave. And then you cut to him as a man making furniture.
Not a bad idea. I do like how problematic this casting, the cast is in 2022, where we have Jada Pinkett Smith in a prominent role and Amber Heard in a prominent role. And the internet has opinions on both of those women right now. And we don't need to get into it, but it is very funny seeing them both in a movie and going, oh man, 7 years later, you're both in the news at the same time. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy that our worlds and their worlds have slammed into each other in such a crazy way. I loved Amber Heard in this movie. I think she's electric.
I hated her in this movie. I thought Zoe was easily the worst part of this movie. And that's not a critique on Amber Heard, although I did like the line where Mike's like, well, I better hide all the knives in the kitchen here. And I thought, well, she's going to cut your finger off if you're not careful. But I just thought her character was just like a bummer. Like, I felt about her character, I think, the same way you felt about the love interest in the first movie, where I was just like, you're a dud this whole time.
You and my wife have, like, the exact same takes of this movie. Like, pinpoint.
It's why you and I get along so well, and it's why you and your wife get along so well, and it's why me and your wife hate each other, because we're just two bulls slamming into each other.
Two magnets of the same, positivity.
Yeah, polarity.
Polarity, there we go. I didn't like her that much in this movie, but I wanted to say the opposite of what my wife thought just to see if you had the same opinion. Guess what? You did.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. You could feel free to tell her that her and I are on the same page with Amber Heard's performance in Magic Mike XXL.
What do you think of Magic Mike's acting?
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I thought
his dancing is absolutely phenomenal in this movie. He really stepped it up the way you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought his acting was a little what?
Well, he's not given a lot to do, right? Like, in terms of emotional range, they're just having a good time. So if you just want to watch five boys having a good time, then this movie's got it for you. If you're looking for deep emotional character study, then I guess watch the first Magic Mike. But like, even that's like, it's not that good. There's better movies out there.
I feel like there's an edit where you could edit the first movie into the second movie, and it'd be great. I'd love it.
It'd be long. It'd be like a 3-hour movie. I don't have time for that.
Well, you cut off a lot of the chaff and a lot of the, like, group stripping ones from the first movie. You just, like, speed them up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, just probably speed them up. Like,
speed
four
them
times.
Up. Yeah,
speed
so they're up. Just, like, quickly ripping their shirts off and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Look, I earn very quickly. I don't have time to watch a whole stripping session.
Oh, I meant to ask. Did you get topped off watching this one last night?
You know I asked, and that's all I'll say. I'll tell you the result of that off air.
Tell me now and I'll censor it. It's all good. I'll censor it.
Well, of course I didn't want to see her while it happened. Mm-hmm. So I asked her to get a sex ghost costume on. What did we call it? Where you dress up in all the black shadow gear.
Oh, sex shadow.
Yeah, I asked her to dress up as a sex shadow and then dye her mouth black.
Of course, yeah. Eat a bunch of licorice. Yeah, like she's an old ancient Japanese lady.
I said eat a bunch of licorice. And she's like, that's not going to do anything. I have food dye. I don't want to eat a bunch of licorice.
Too bad.
And I said the licorice was the thing. I wanted her to eat a bunch of licorice or no deal.
The licorice is what's going to do it for me. Is that...
Like it's the whole thing.
I bought all these licorice cigars and pipes. I need you to eat these.
We were on our way to go pick up Taco Time, so of course we're talking about getting topped off during Magic Mike XXL and Sex Shadows.
A Taco Time top off, of course.
Yeah. Well, post Taco Time top off, which, and, you know, during Magic Mike XXL.
Of course, yeah. I love that you and your wife got tacos, like Taco Time, to watch Magic Mike. I don't know why that tickles me just right. I think that's great.
Yeah, well, it was a beautiful day out. You want to go for a drive, so you pick up some Taco Time and then come back and watch Magic Mike XXL for a podcast.
For not for your own enjoyment, for a podcast.
Yeah, she was talking to me about the ifs and whats and whens of the sexual nature of watching Magic Mike XXL while getting topped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the twain shall not meet because this is serious. This is for a podcast. This is work.
And you said, hurry up and start eating that licorice.
Yeah, we went to Bulk Barn so we could get like a lot of licorice for the cheapest amount.
Of course,
you know.
Yeah.
Didn't get any more food dye, though.
No, and she was like, she didn't know why you were doing it. Then you brought her home, and she was like, oh, no, I don't want to eat that licorice. I thought you were buying it for yourself. I don't want to eat that. And you're like, I hate licorice, too.
Yeah, I don't want licorice, but we need to get your mouth dark so I don't see it while you're topping me off.
Mm-hmm. I want to just see a shadow moving up and down on my...
A lot of poster board, too. We'd have to turn the lights way down and, like, black out the windows somehow because you can't have any light other than... than Magic Mike playing and my screen taking diligent notes.
Of course, yeah. Oh, and you, sounds like you're that old cougar that they run into later on in this movie, getting talked off with the lights off.
Yeah, Andy McDowell coming in Cougar Town.
Andy McDowell killing it in this movie. You know, Joe Manganiello earlier in the movie says that he hasn't had sex, proper sex, in 5 months. I don't know what proper sex means. I don't know what he's implying by that, but he says he can't find a woman who is willing to, like, take on his hog. And
it's too big!
They so eloquently put it like, it's like Cinderella looking for her slipper. Did you find your Cinderella slipper? And turns out his Cinderella slipper is mother of two, Andy McDowell.
Star of Multiplicity, Andy McDowell.
Star of Riding the Bus with My Sister, Andy McDowell.
I try. Is it really?
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to find her on the interwebs, and the only movie I could remember her being in was Multiplicity.
That's a good one too, though.
That's not bad. That's a good month.
I don't know if I've ever seen it. I don't know if I. Don't
well,
have.
We should definitely do Cloning Month after Jazz Month.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Naturally, that's the conclusion. After you do Jazz Month, you have to do Cloning Month, and all the cloning movies we could do. Multiplicity. We could do Star Wars Episode 2 Attack of the Clones.
Star Wars really runs the gamut as far as, like, things we can watch.
Yeah, there's lots of jizz and clones in both of them.
That's cool. Yeah, during each of these months, one of the movies is going to be a Star Wars.
Until 9 months have gone past, we've watched all the numbered Star Wars movies and hated them.
Yeah, found a tangential theme to plug them into a month and get some Christian movies in there, of course.
Oh, sure. We're a Christian podcast, of course.
This movie is a Christian movie because I believe Magic Mike does the sign of the cross while he's stripping over a lady. Is it in the mansion?
It's during the final dance with Amber Heard. He does the sign of the cross over her, and I clocked that too. Where I was like, "All right, we've justified watching this movie. There's a religious moment in it. Now we can say it was worth it."
You know, I missed it, and my wife clocked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you were getting topped off. She was watching, and you were watching her, so you were missing the movie, but she didn't want to miss the movie. This was during Magic Mike's triumphant final number.
Well, I was trying to not watch her, but the mouth dye didn't work, so I had to, like, see her moving.
Right, and you didn't want to watch the movie, because then you were going to, like, bust immediately.
Yeah, it takes me out of both things.
Man, Donald Glover is in this movie.
Yeah. I as soon as the mansion scene started, my wife went, "Oh my god, I forgot!" And then I had to wait like 20 minutes of stripping, which was great,
of course,
until I saw Childish Gambino himself.
It was like ridiculous. That's why I love the mansion scene, because you get husband abuser Jada Pinkett Smith, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth, and then we get Dong Glover himself, Donald Glover. But then we also get the guy from, like, who replaced Regis on Regis and Kelly, whatever the hell that guy's name is,
Michael Strahan. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I think he was doing Michael and Kelly during this.
He had to have been. This was 2015. Yeah, he was definitely doing Michael and Kelly during this.
And it's not some mimbly pimbly you know, talk piece stripping like Childish Gambino does. He is full on putting his nuts on people's faces.
Yeah.
And hard stripping. This is a hard life stripper.
Oh yeah, he's taking strands of women's hair and running it between the gap in his teeth, and he's jumping over women. That jump he does is ridiculous.
Like, this is a man that's made a lot of money in his life. Who do you think was rich enough to pay for this man to learn how to strip and strip for them? Because this is not his first time stripping.
No.
I'm sure, like, you got your Madonnas, you got your Oprahs, you got your Judge Judys. They mm-hmm. got a lot of money to make Michael Strahan strip.
Of course. Your Judge Joe Browns. They're all in there.
Yeah. You're right. I forgot about Judge Joe Brown.
Well, they all pooled their money. They all contributed. That's why Oprah gets a shout out in this movie with the great line, yeah, when someone reveals who they really are, you should believe them, or something like that. And Michael Strahan, you know, just his name's like Augustus or something like that, and he's dressed like a Roman gladiator. The dude is like cut from brick.
I thought he was Augustus Gloop. I thought he was the big guy from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, a Johnny Depp classic.
Some would say, this generation would say.
Yeah, this generation. Thanks, Obama.
No, honestly, thank you, Obama. You did a lot of good.
Yeah, absolutely. We love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's a beautiful movie.
Thanks for getting that going.
Thanks for encouraging Tim Burton into making that. We appreciate it. I'm glad to know that Willy Wonka's dad was a dentist, and that's why he made a chocolate factory. It was worth it to go back and explore that.
Jobless.
Hey, jobless.
You know, were you surprised to know that Magic Mike is nicknamed White Chocolate?
No, not when Jada Pinkett started talking. It was like, sure, of course, he was probably called White Chocolate back in the day. Why not? He was in there mixing it up with Jada Pinkett Smith. They were frickin' or whatever. But then Matthew McConaughey came a-knockin' and was like, all right, all right, all right. Let's f***ing get it on right now. And he was like, all right, let's go. And left Jada Pinkett in the dust out in Georgia.
And then he comes crawling back and has the gall to ask her to come to a convention. The convention.
The disgust, the disdain that she has for the idea of that convention. She's like, "You, the convention? Really?" He's like, no, I was just kidding.
Yeah, and he like has a terrible lie too. He's like, "Oh, I came here for like the passion to see you. That's all. Yeah. I came to see you."
Yeah, I was driving through the area and I couldn't not stop and see you. And she's like, "I don't believe you. Give this woman a lap dance now." And he's like, "All right, okay, all right,
okay." And he does a really good job of lifting this lady.
Oh my God, they're standing 69s as far as the eye can see.
There's a lot of, like, 469s in this movie, and he does it so elegantly. Like, planning all that must take real strength as a man.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of pantomimed cunnilingus in this movie. Endless pantomimed cunnilingus. It's, I guess, as Mel Gibson would say, it's what women want.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. You know, all the famous people kind of say that from time to time. But you just, like, let it wash you over you.
Yes, yeah, let you wash you over you.
Wash you
course.
Over you.
You know, I think my favorite cameo, besides Elizabeth Banks showing up at the end of the movie for no reason, just to be there to be, hey, and I'm Elizabeth Banks, I'm here to cash a check, hello. But as someone who loves the Disney Plus original Disney weddings, Disney Dream Weddings, it was so exciting to see Twitch there in a movie, dancing and doing his thing, showing off his abs. I can tell by the look on your face, Magic Steve, that you don't know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about because somebody else that I was watching this movie that I brought up way too many times this episode pointed out that was Twitch. And then I asked who's Twitch, and like I got no information. He's a dancer.
Are your wife? Am I your wife? Are your wife and I the same person? Because she that's very funny. She knew who Twitch was as well. That's great. Twitch, who spells his name lowercase T, capital W, and then lowercase ITCH. That's how a grown man spells his name.
Okay, so Twitch stole it from Twitch.
I think so. Yeah, Twitch is going to be in a little bit of a lawsuit with old Twitch.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's he from? He's from Disney Plus?
He's from Disney's Dream Weddings. Him and his real-life wife are the host of that show. And there's a great clip where he, like, thanks the troops, and it's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, and this is a great time to thank all the servicemen and women around the world for all they do to serve our nation and keep us safe. We honor you, we thank you, and we salute you.
Thanks to troops, including Kevin Nash, who was in Desert Storm in this movie. And, yeah, that's all I really know about him. I think maybe he was on, like, Dancing with the Stars. Like, he's, like, he was on one of those dancing shows as either a judge. He was, like, one of the, like, a judge or, like, a trainer or some capacity like that. I don't think he was, like, a competitor. I think he, like, worked on the show. And then so, Magic Mike Double XL.
So he was never a Jabberwocky or on that show?
I don't think.
Yeah, okay. Also, do you think he's in the next movie we watch? Has to be, right?
Man, all I could think during that, like, all I could think during the mansion scene was like, I hope that this is a soft pilot for the next movie that we're going to watch. The next series that we're going to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it's just going to stem from this movie. The movies we're about to watch might just be sequels to this movie.
I wouldn't be shocked at all to find out that they were set in the same universe. Like, if Twitch shows up, or Michael Strahan, or whatever his name is. What's his name?
You got it.
Yep, nice.
Michael Strahan, you got it.
Childish Gambino, or Jada Pinkett Smith.
Andy McDowell.
Yeah, I would love it if Andy McDowell showed up. I mean, I think the next movie we're going to watch does take place in, like, Atlanta. So there is a chance that there is some crossover there. I don't know. Now I'm kind of freaking out about it. Maybe they are all connected. That would be insane.
I want to take bets, real money, on the over-under on how many times they say Atlanta in the next movie.
Oh, my God.
So PayPal us a link. I don't know.
Sure, PayPal us, whatever.
Yeah, a link.
A link. So after they go to J2P, Childish Gambino drives them all to... did you notice that, like, Kevin Nash just, like, wasn't around in the mansion scene? Like, he just, like... he walks in with them, and then he's just kind of gone for that whole sequence. I thought... and, like, even when Donald Glover's driving them to the next location... he's not in the... you can't see him in the car. Everyone else is in the car, but Kevin Nash is not in the car. Or it's, like, implied that he's in the back seat in shadow or something like that. What's going on with Kevin Nash? Is he okay?
I think he's just not there. There's a scene at the end where him and Magic Mike kind of, like, talk about it a little bit. Like, how he's just, like, not there throughout the movie.
It is funny how Magic Mike's just like, hey, man, we haven't had a chance to, like... talk about what's going on. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. I was in Desert Storm. I love you, Mike. And he goes, I love you too. And then they put their heads together, and then that's it. That's all you need. That's Kevin Nash's character in the movie.
Well, this movie is very self-aware. It points nods to how, like, Tarzan can't dance, mm-hmm. and, like, other things that you noticed in the first movie. They make fun of it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's great.
Yeah, this movie's great.
It's great. Oh, good. You've come around. Excellent.
Yeah.
And hey, well, so then we get, they drive him to Andy McDowell's house, where it's Cougar Town, USA, and all the men each have a moment where they make a cougar purr, and, you know, Joe Manganiello finds his glass slipper.
It's just a nice evening between the strippers and their audience, which is cougars and middle-aged women.
Oh.
And they share wine together. They have a beautiful evening in.
Mm-hmm. Amber Heard is being a total wet blanket, a total stick in the mud. She's ruining the red velvet cake that they have saved for later, presumably. But I think the main takeaway is that, much like Ken and Donald Glover say when they're driving out to the mansion, male strippers are healers. They heal women. And that's exactly what they do during this scene with Andy McDowell and her cougar friends, is they heal these women and their emotional traumas with their loser husbands.
Yeah, they all have loser husbands.
Yeah.
But yeah, the strippers are there to heal. They should probably do that in this next movie, is drive to mansions and heal old women,
mm-hmm.
and fill them.
Oh, I mean, if you're Joe Manganiello, for sure. You got Andy McDowell's loose vagina that he's ready to just, like, fill up. Good Lord. You saw that thing in the first movie. Woof.
Well, when he pumps it up, it's a great thing. And he fills the old lady mm-hmm. to the brim.
Mm-hmm. I hope that theirs is a love that lasts the test of time.
I hope they're, like, married and have children, or, like, adopt a bunch of kids in the next movie, mm-hmm. and just happy. I just want them to be happy, kids or no kids.
I think my favorite part of that whole sequence is when they're all just, like, having a good time, and Andy McDowell's like, you know, I've only ever had sex with my ex-husband, and blah, 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 and this, that. Now I had pumped out two kids and stretched my vagina out, now I could take a great big old hog, and blah, 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 blah. And then Kevin Nash goes, hey, I wish I could have something like that. All I want to do is come home and to a wife and some kids and a house and just, like, a happy life, and that's all I want, but that ship has sailed for me. And then everyone just sits there quietly until the next woman goes, I wish I could get laid! Like, that's such a weird downer moment. I love it.
It's a bit of a downer moment. The first movie kind of seeps in during that scene.
It's a little real.
But it needs to be said.
It needs to be said. Kevin, we need to know that Kevin Nash is lonely. We need to know that Tarzan can't find a woman, which, fair enough, you look like a ghoul. Like, I get it, and you can't move. And maybe, I don't even know if you're a nice guy or not. You're certainly a drunk. I don't know what your deal is.
Yeah, but that ship has sailed. There's no way he could adopt a little family.
No, God, no. Even if he ended up marrying Andy McDowell, still wouldn't work.
Even if they made it to the convention and won the $200,000 prize.
There's no cash prize, not a competition. They make that very
clear. It's
for
fun.
It's just for fun, yeah. I mean, the cash prize is all the cash that the women shower the men with.
It's the heart of the stripper is what they're trying to get out in this movie. But they do make it thanks to the old Cougar Town. And they get a spot thanks to Elizabeth Banks.
That's true. And they get a sick Rolls Royce from old Cougar Town herself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like...
I like how they leave Jada and Childish Gambino and Twitch behind, and then they just show up at the end.
Well, I think Dong Lover really, like, connects with the crew as he's driving them out there. And when he comes back to JDP, he goes, look, we should go out and help them. They're good people. Twitch, you're a great dancer. Come on, let's go. And then they must, like, race out there and get out there ahead of him somehow.
Well, you are a dancing stripping movie, so you need at least one more person that can dance and strip at the end.
Yeah, you need to add a black dude to your crew. That's what they were missing. They had everybody else, they didn't have a black guy. Add him in. Twitch is there.
And I love the social commentary of mirroring black and white, showing that we're all the same.
Oh, and then that playing that Oreo song. Not a joke. Yeah. Actually playing an Oreo song while they strip. It's not a joke.
Yeah. I love the stripping in every sort of way during the end.
Oh, my God. Before we get to the end, though, did you love the line where Channing Tatum goes, yes, my God is a woman?
yes. Excellent. Because I believe it. And I believe anything Magic Mike says.
I agree. Yeah, he's an honest man.
I have to agree. He's a very honest and godly man.
So we finally get to the finale, and there's like 30 minutes left in the movie. And I'm like, God, there's like, what's going to happen in this last 30 minutes? Oh, it's literally just stripping for 30 minutes. It's just men stripping for 30. And you didn't think there was enough in the movie. There's a 30-minute chunk. That's more than all the last movie combined. There's only 16 minutes of male stripping in the last movie. This movie, there is 30 minutes solid at the end, not to mention all the other stripping throughout the movie.
I needed it earlier. It was too little, too late.
See, I like they teased it. They teased it. You were edging the whole time, and then they went, now presenting Resurrection. I went, well, that's great name for a male strip team. Great name for a, what are they called? A drag.
A male.
A drag show. A drag performer.
I see. I was trying to find in my notes my favorite line of this movie. And it's earlier in the film where they're leaving the beach and Ken says, I'll pick up the biodegradables.
No, the non-biodegradables.
Non-biodegradables.
Yeah, that's a great
line. Of course.
I can't believe he didn't like Ken. I thought Ken was great. He's a level 3 Reiki healer. He's fluffy, gets a second degree concussion, and he heals it with Reiki. It's beautiful. He's meditating.
Yeah. Not for me.
See, I liked him because when everyone was freaking out, he was keeping everyone calm. He calmed everyone down. He was like, look, it's all good. We're going to all work it out. Oh, great. Thought he was awesome.
I just don't think he knows how to interact with his surroundings.
Well, that's also true, but I think that's his character.
That's a real character.
Go ahead.
Well, I love how out of all the stripping performances, like, this is a convention, so there's tons of them, and a whole line of stripping shows. The only other one they show is Stripping Twilight.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? And then one of the guys went, I'm going to fuck Bella. And I went, yuck. All right, fine.
And it looked like a bad, like, small-town play.
Yeah, it did. And I didn't like that Charlie was there when the guy said, I'm going to fuck Bella. I didn't like that her dad was present when that was announced. Charlie was there. I didn't like that. He shouldn't be there. Yeah. It seems weird.
No, he shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't. No, he shouldn't. On the trip, when the boys are rolling on Molly, they decide to throw out all their old routines. That means no more firemen, no more policemen, no more Navy, no more none of that other stuff, because Dallas created those things. It's not who they are. It's not what, you know, it's not like Marie Kondo says, not what sparks joy in them. And so they come up with all new routines, the day of the performance, and they do a pretty good job.
When they're rolling up to the hotel or whatever, me and my wife were just like, why aren't they training more? I want to see more training and more stripping.
Ask and you shall receive. You get a training sequence followed by 30 minutes of stripping. So you kind of got what you asked for.
Well, and like a minute and a half of them going to places and buying things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they got to go to a Radio Shack and buy smoke detectors or whatever they're doing. Replace. Got to
promote Verizon.
Of course, they got to go. They don't trust the smoke detectors in their rooms. The carbon monoxide detectors. They got to replace them with brand new ones to make sure that they're safe.
Yeah, that's what I do when I travel. I go right to the Radio Shack and get carbon monoxide poisoning detectors.
And D batteries so that they work properly.
Oh, I could go off on D batteries.
Put the D in D batteries.
How did you like Tarzan's dance?
I loved
it. First up, of course.
Yeah, we'll go in order. So, number one with a bullet, Tarzan. Great. Better than his performance in the last movie where he was just swinging on a rope. This time he pretends to be a painter, and then at the end he throws a bunch of glitter on a canvas that he had already put glue on, I'm assuming. He said, here comes the glue. Put it on there. Yeah. And it's all the glitter sticks to the canvas in a beautiful painting of like the woman who was on stage. But he must have just like drawn a woman with short hair and then went, find me a woman with short hair in the crowd. It's the only way this works. If she's got long hair, it won't be her.
Short hair, please. My favorite part of his stripping performance was when he dips his brush in her vaginal area and implies that he's painting with her juices.
Yeah, that's true. She loved it, too.
Oh, they all loved it. They threw so much money when that happened.
Oh, my gosh. Like, in the mansion scene, not to jump back to that, but when Magic Mike is doing his, like, dance, and he's just, like, giving a lap dance to every woman in there. He's just grabbing women and thrusting on them. There's that point where he's just being showered with money. There's so much money falling around him. And then in the like finale, I think it's who is it who gets? Oh, it's Ken who just gets like consumed by money. Like just so much money falls on him, you lose him in the pile of money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they really consume him in money, but he can sing.
Oh my god!
So of course they shower him with dollar bills.
Of course. Well, we don't jump ahead. First, we got to get to Tito's performance to 50 Cent's Candy Shop, and I was so excited to hear some 50 Cent in this movie. You know, I got a soft spot for old 50 Curtis himself.
The song is absolutely great. It's music to mine ears. But this routine was vulgar and
it was
sticky.
It was messy and vulgar, yeah.
It was gross. Filming that must have been terrible. And these poor women that are just paying thousands of dollars to come to this convention.
It was filmed at a real convention, of course.
Real convention, real stripping convention. That's how you get like the best reaction shots of from course. The females.
He dumps chocolate syrup all over that woman's legs. Like,
all over.
No towel is given to her later. Nothing to clean herself up. She just had to have chocolate all over her legs for the rest of the time and ruin her skirt. Terrible. Wasn't even thinking.
He barely looks at any of it.
I know.
Eat more chocolate, please.
Please eat more chocolate. Although the finale of his dance is a sight to be seen.
Worse. So much worse.
It does ruin their outfits completely when he takes two whipped cream guns and gives these three women a whipped cream facial. Like just and covers them in whipped cream.
This isn't your supermarket frozen whipped cream can. Mm-mm. This is like cafe ice cream shop shooters that just like obliterate these women.
Yeah, you have to put
these poor women.
You have to put CO2 canisters into those containers, and he just douses them in sour cream. No,
yeah,
not sour cream.
A paintball gun with cream.
It's not sour cream. It's it's whipped cream.
Honestly, we don't know what they use. If they use sweet, I would actually like them to use soured cream rather than iced cream.
So disgusting. That would be so much worse. If he did it and then it was like, and they're like, oh, this tastes terrible. And he goes, oh, that's sour cream. It was cheaper than buying whipped cream. And they're like, what? You sprayed us with sour cream? Oh my God.
Yeah, you had some hamburger. You got a stew going.
Yeah, yum. Hamburger and sour cream. Delicious. Yeah.
Well, that's the first thing you think of when you think of sour cream is a bunch of, like, loose hamburger.
Oh, I love to just get a bucket of sour cream and just a bunch of frozen hamburgers, fry them in a cast iron skillet, and then just dip them in that sour cream, eat them with my hands.
Animal style.
That's right, like I'm Tarzan.
And then, of course, Ken doesn't spray cream on anyone.
No, but he gets some cream sprayed on him.
Yeah, he's very polite. He's a very polite boy who can sing.
Man, but he's not only does he can sing very well, but he sings D'Angelo's How Does It Feel? Or I guess Untitled, I guess is what the song is technically called. But like, yeah. He's great. It's such a good, well, A, it's a great song. B, his performance is great. And he like, at one point, he says, like, I'm going to show you how it feels. And he grabs his dinger out of his pants and waves it at a woman. It's wild, dude. Calm down.
Other than the mirror dance, of course, this was my favorite stripping moment, and I think it really redeemed him as a character for me.
Well, because he was performing from the heart. He wasn't just doing what Dallas told him to do, which was be Ken. He didn't want to be Ken. He wanted to grab his dinger out of his pants and wave it at a woman.
And sing at the same time.
Of course.
He's probably going to get a record deal. Elizabeth Banks?
I hope so. But then his performance is awkwardly interrupted by Childish Gambino, who has to sing. I guess. It's weird that, like, Jada Pinkett Smith introduces everybody, but then for Joe Manganiello's performance, Donald Glover just interrupts Ken's performance and then goes, and now we have to talk about a serious subject, commitment. Oh, okay. This man was just buried in dollar bills a second ago. All right, well, let's talk about commitment then.
And Childish Gambino doesn't even take his jacket off this time. I want to see some of that chest.
Well, he does at the end when they're all kind of dancing. You see him, like, topless with his pants on, kind of grinding on some ladies.
Thank goodness for that.
Truly, yeah. But he has to sing that, I don't know, that Marry You, Marry, whatever that song is called. The Mary song, the marriage song by Bruno Mars. You know what I'm talking about.
Marry you, marry me, marry you. Yeah.
Marry you, marry me, marry you. Yeah. Because Joe Manganiello, when he was on Ecstasy, decided he wanted to do a strip show where he marries somebody on stage. And they went, go for it, man. That sounds cool.
That's in his heart. And it's very sweet. Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful. And then it takes a bit of a turn.
Of course. I think the craziest part of Joe Manganiello's performance is that he says he's 35 in this movie. And I went, there's no way, man. I'm 34. You're not 35. You're way older than me, man.
Dude, you're 45 at least.
At least. With that hog, you're 45.
But with the body of a 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
In the best way.
A body that just won't quit. And so, yeah, so after he gets married, he carries his wife to a very elaborate-looking sex chair while Closer by Nine Inch Nails very violently starts playing, and he gives her a frickin' ride of her life on that thing.
Oh, yeah, he really gives it his all. He must have been training for months for that.
Oh, yeah, and, like, to trust that he was going to be able to, like, do flips and, like, swing around on that elaborate contraption that he built without it just flipping over and throwing that woman into the crowd, I mean, he's a hell of a construction worker as well.
Yeah, he's really good at construction, and that comes apart during his stripping montage. Just the way he can contort his body is really what you need during construction.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you got to get into a tight space to do some drilling, you need a guy like Joe Manganiello who can contort his body and twist around,
which he yells to the construction man when he's in his interview.
And the guy goes, "I'm just a stripper. I don't know. I don't own a construction company. Talk to your friend Mike. He literally owns a furniture building company. You would be great for this job."
Yeah, talk to your friend Mike.
Yeah, you mean Magic Mike? Oh, yeah, I could talk to him.
XXL?
And then, speaking of Magic Mike XXL, we get to the finale performance of Magic Mike and Twitch. I get, like, it's weird that they do, like, a combined performance. I mean, it's cool what they do, but it's, like, it kind of takes away from, like, that it's Magic Mike's big finale performance, that there's just another person dancing, too. But good for Twitch.
Great for Twitch. I love them on the big stage. I just eat them up.
So there's two chairs, and then there's a frame, a very elaborate-looking frame around the chairs that it makes it look like a mirror, and they bring up two women. I love that Jada Pinkett's just like, Amber Heard, get on stage. She's like, oh, I don't want to. And she goes, well, too bad. Get on stage. And just drags her up.
No. I don't want
to. No, too bad. Get on stage. Listen to me. Get on stage, all right? And she goes, okay, all right. Jesus, all right.
Yeah, don't shoot me.
Yeah. My favorite TV show, Don't Shoot Me.
Amber Heard loves Don't Shoot Me.
Oh, yeah. I'm racking my brain trying to think of anyone who was in that show to do, but I can't remember anyone who was in Just Shoot Me.
The blonde man from the SNL.
Terry Hatcher. Is she in that?
Yeah, Terry Hatcher.
Perfect. and then just some other
David
woman.
David Spade.
Ah, there he is. The blonde woman from SNL. Yeah, David Spade.
You got it.
And then just another woman is brought up on stage as well. Like, no fanfare. Twitch just brings another woman up. It's just like, yeah, you. Mm. Sure.
You, that one.
Yeah. But the dance that him and Mike do is pretty cool. The fact that they're mirroring each other and then, like, they'll cross over, like, they'll cross through the mirror and dance with the other woman and then cross back. And I thought it was really neat.
They'll slap five when they're faking humping them.
Mm-hmm. Lots. And there's a point where they're just both just straight daggering those women. Just
yep.
Pounding them. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Calm down.
Well, you get to see Magic Mike and Amber Heard really cement their relationship. And you need nothing else after that.
Of course. And I hope in the next movie it's revealed that he proposed to her and she said no as well.
I hope she proposed to him and he said yes.
And then she died tragically and he's single and ready to mingle. You can't have a love interest. You got to have a new love interest each movie for Magic Mike. So Amber Heard, he's either got to leave him or he's got to leave her or she's got to die. That's just the way it's got to go.
Somebody got to die. Somebody got to get divorced.
Exactly. Beautiful.
And absolutely beautiful.
The crowd loves them. They love the daggering. They love the song All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled. And they throw so much money that they surf a wave of it out of the convention and into the history books.
Yeah, Iglesias drives the truck back and then there's fireworks. And then they ride onto the sunset.
It's weird to think that, like, they were 2 days away from, like, when they got into the car accident and everyone was on Molly, they were 2 days away from Myrtle Beach. And they said, we're going to have to keep Fluffy for 2 days here to watch over him. So he must have just, like, checked himself out of the hospital, went and got the truck, and just hauled ass for, like, just 27 hours up the highway just to get to Myrtle Beach in time. And then he still misses the show. He doesn't get there in time. But he's there for
sleepless nights,
and that's what got him into the problem in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's drunk behind the wheel.
He's drunk in love. He shouldn't be taking drugs while he's driving.
Well, he has a huge problem, and that was the underlying current that they wanted to go with, but apparently they just wanted to stick to the stripping.
That's very true. Yeah. Well, hey, Steve, Magic Steve, what did you think of Magic Mike XXL?
Listen, Magic Adam, of course I loved the stripping, I loved the music, I loved the lack of plot, and I loved this movie. Now, Magic Adam, what did you think of this movie?
Well, of course, I love the stripping, I love the lack of plot, and I loved this movie. And I love you.
I love you too, and I also love Michael Strahan. I hope you never do a bad thing.
Never get me too, Michael Strahan. We're really rooting for you out here.
We're really rooting for you. We're praying for you. We got you on our chest.
We love you.
We love you. I love you.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what? I forgot to mention that Jada Pinkett Smith, like before the last performance, goes, are there any ladies here not on birth control? Because someone is getting on stage tonight.